And speaking of dressy, it is time now for History Matters. Looking back on this week in history with the one and only and very well-dressed Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire who joins us here in the studio to take our minds off of the storm for just a little while.
Hey, you play the great music and you encourage people to dress up to listen to the show, so I think that's all good.
I say this wearing a T-shirt, you know. I dress for the radio every day.
No, he's always dressed appropriate. Ah, it's wonderful.
Oh, I am dressed appropriate. Absolutely. For the radio. I'm wearing my PJs.
Well,
you don't know.
You know, this is, you know, history, as we know, is also about fashion. It's about design.
Fair.
It's about things that get invented. And this week, there's some fun things. Paul McCartney, of course, had a birthday this week on Tuesday the 18th. But there is also a couple of other interesting things, well, at least connected with that. On Sunday the 23rd, 1940, is when the original bass guitarist for the Beatles was born.
Stu.
And that's right, Stu. And, yeah. And who apparently jokingly suggested, at least the legend goes, the band ID of the Beatles to compete with the Crickets.
Oh, nice. All right.
So at least a little fun fun element.
Is either Beatles or Grasshoppers. We're going
right,
to go one or
right.
the other. Yeah.
And now since we're dealing with this kind of unusual things, in 1967 is when the computer mouse was patented.
All right.
Can you imagine? I mean, we're using tablets, we're using phones.
Right.
So we're using our fingers for that. But originally, you know, how do you interface with the computer?
How do you convince a patent board to give you a patent for a device that's used to help you use a product that the patent board probably isn't that aware of at the time?
That's
like, can you imagine that
know.
Conversation?
That, exactly.
No, it'll help you. There, it'll help you scroll around and click on links and things. They're like, this is all
what,
going way there over our heads.
There isn't any links at that. There's no web. It's like, it's a pointing device. The color computers were like orange or green.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
it. So, no, yeah, that's a really very, very rudimentary, I think, at that point. Maybe they were real mice at that point. I don't know.
That could have been.
Yeah.
That actually is an interesting thing. Like, if you actually work on a patent board and you get all of these devices and technologies and things that are being presented to you, a lot of them are devices and tech that's used as assistance for products that don't even exist yet. So you've got to be super up to date on everything.
Right. Or at least be open-minded.
Yes.
To them. I mean, we talked about how Abraham Lincoln has a patent because he was thinking of boats that would run aground.
Right,
and
right.
so it was like an inflatable bladder that would lift the boat up enough so it could float off.
And that's one thing. Like, you understand, like, boats run aground. I've got a thing that'll help with that.
Right.
Thomas Edison shows up and it's like, I've got a device that you can record yourself speaking and then you can play it back again. And like, great. And then someone comes in and says, I have a needle that will hook to the thing that you then have to put on the record in order for it to play. Like, what's a record? What is a phonograph? You got to explain this to
us. 1868, June 23rd is when the first practical typewriter is patented, except it was only able to type capital letters.
We got another weather update coming in just a second, so more on capital letters in a second, but first a weather update from the National Weather Service. And that, again, still continuing and extending the thunderstorm warnings from before. And as I mentioned, a lot of the really heavy stuff right now is off to our south. So parts of southern Wake County as well as southeastern Chatham County getting affected by that until 6:45. And again, update on the radar, Pittsburgh, not in southern Chatham County, but in Chatham County getting hit with some heavy stuff right now. The reason for the thunderstorm warning, though, is I believe further off to the west, another patch of really heavy rain that's moving to the east of Asheboro and kind of continuing along that area in the southern part of Chatham County that'll be moving into Wake afterwards. Okay, so Scott Washington in their studio, back to capital letters. Somehow.
Oh, I kept talking the whole time.
Okay, yes. It was a fascinating
capital
story.
Letters,
that was
yes.
the best story I've ever heard.
But it was like they were screaming, hey, look at this. I can type on a typewriter, all in capital letters. The other one that happens on that same day is when a fellow named Adolf Sax in Belgium invented an instrument named after him now. We know as a saxophone. So if you really want to have fame, invent an instrument and you can
name it after yourself. It probably helps to have a really cool last name like sax. It's a saxophone.
Yes, exactly. Is it a phone or what is it?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a saxophone,
that's right.
You know.
Maybe I planted the idea. A phone, a telephone. Yeah, a saxophone, something like that. Okay, well, there's a couple of other, well, there's lots of stuff. There always is interesting things. 1872, Susan B. Anthony is fined $100 for voting illegally, for attempting to vote. Mm-hmm. And it would take, of course, until 1919 when we get the 20th Amendment, and that's giving women the right.
19th Amendment.
19th
yeah.
Amendment. Yep, 1920, yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 1920, 19th Amendment,
Giving women the right to vote. That's almost like 40 years later. That's just incredible to think about that. That she's out there. Well,
again, it takes a long time with movements, and again, for better or worse. But this is kind of a fact of American history: is all of the pushing and all of the advocacy. It does take a very long time, and it takes a long time of pushing very hard and advocating very hard and doing things like this, of going to the polls and trying to vote and raising awareness that way. Things eventually happen, but it takes some time.
But how important it is to have people.
And it doesn't happen all at once either. Like between 1873 and 1919, like 1920 is when the 19th Amendment gets ratified, but individual states were granting women the right to vote between 1873 and 1920.
Right.
So there were a lot of victories along the way, too.
That's right. Well, and this week we see Juneteenth, 1865,
yesterday.
When soldiers are, Union soldiers in Texas are alerting people who had been enslaved, you know, you're free now. And that's celebrated many places. Also, June 19th, the regulators, the people who are hung in Hillsborough in charge with high treason, though it doesn't appear likely that they were guilty of much more than exercising the very kind of freedoms that we take for granted. Mm-hmm. And then if you go the other end of this, this week, 1989, I think it was on Friday the 21st, and I'm just checking here, is when, yes, it was 1989, I couldn't believe it was that late, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that burning the American flag in protest is a legal and protected form of free speech.
And it was Scalia who was the decider on that one.
That
was
right?
A 5-4.
Oh,
and everyone assumed that Scalia, because, you know, Scalia is the uber conservative justice, of allegedly, was going to rule in favor of, you can ban burning the flag. That's totally fine. But Scalia ends up being the fifth and deciding vote in favor of saying, no, this is protected speech. It's a form of expression and you can do it.
Well, I remember in high school, a teacher said, was going through the Constitution, said, oh, you can do this. This is before the Supreme Court ruled. And she said, would anyone like to burn the flag? And we all looked at each other and said, I don't think so today. But thank you for
But
the
thank
offer.
You. You can, yes. What I will do, I teach American government, and we talk about civil liberties, and we talk about civil rights, and we might sometimes talk about flag burning. It's a really fascinating Supreme Court case about expression. What I do in class is trying to kill two birds with one stone. I don't, you don't burn the flag. What I do is I take a copy of the Constitution and shred it with a shredder.
Oh, wow.
Partly because, hey, free expression, you can do this, but also because the Constitution is just a piece of paper.
Right.
It doesn't have any power to defend itself. The only power the Constitution has is the power that we decide to give it. So it takes us caring about the Constitution and about our constitutional rights for those rights to have real meaning.
Well, I'm guessing that wakes people up. Like, what is he doing?
Well, I always do it at the end of class, and I bring in the shredder at the very beginning. So I bring in this giant thing, and I set it down. And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, you'll see.
But that's a really good point, and hopefully people will all read the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and realize that these amendments apply to all of us and how important they are. They're not just words on a paper. They are part of the DNA of Americans. There's also something else that along this week is 1885 is when the Statue of Liberty, the actual statue, arrives in New York, a gift, the 151-foot statue, the gift from the people of France.
Nice.
And it arrives here. Now, I should also mention that on Thursday the 20th, today, is World Refugee Day.
Yes.
And there are now more refugees in the world fleeing from terror and violence and poverty and illness, 65 million. So this is not just something that is in olden times, mm-hmm. it is something that we're living with, and that's certainly what the Statue of Liberty stands for, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Also, 1788, on Friday the 21st, is when New Hampshire became the 9th state to ratify the Constitution. Now, of the 13, and you say, well, so what? Well, the way when they revised the Articles of Confederation and came up with this new thing called the Constitution, it had to go out to the states for ratification, but the founders kind of hedged their bets, and they said, if we get 9 of 13, then it's going into effect. So when New Hampshire ratifies it, it will go into effect the following spring. Of course, Virginia and then New York ratified, and the only two holdouts are North Carolina and Rhode Island. We've talked about that many times, but that's a...
And New Hampshire was the 9th.
That was the decider. Number 9, exactly.
New Hampshire always gets to be the decider. Presidential election and the Constitution.
That's right. There's something linked there. Also, of the 21st...
We got time for one more, so this will be it.
Summer solstice.
Yes.
Which is one of those kind of things that when it's equally... or its longest day of sunlight coming up on Friday. And with the weather being overcast, that'll be a nice...
Let's hope we actually get the sun to see the solstice.
In Hillsboro, we have our own Stonehenge. Ken Ostrand, I call him the Indiana Jones of Hillsboro, a great archaeologist, been in 180 countries, worked on the pyramids of Egypt, and he helped clean up the Old Town Cemetery. But there was this one stone that you could not read. And he raced into the museum when I was there and said, oh, you've got to see. It was right around the summer solstice. So I come out, and it was absolutely clear because the way the light was shining on the stone.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
Interesting.
And that is History Matters for today. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.